Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 13, and I just want to mind the Lord this morning, and I'm nervous. I'm always nervous, but I pray the Lord to help us this morning. I'm going to give a simple thought. And when you find your place, you can stand with respect and stand with reverence. And I like to stand, don't y'all? Amen. I stand for the word, stand for the flag, because that's respect. It shows reverence. And I wish there's more, it's just not going to be that way, but I wish there's more media on those that stand for the national anthem in the Olympics than those that are turning their back on it. Don't that drive you crazy? And I mean, I tell you what, where's that? What's on that screen right there? It's right there in that corner. Man, we ought to respect that thing. I hold it. I don't hold it as high as this right here, but it's pretty high up there. It's pretty high up there. We ought to respect it. We ought to teach our kids to respect it. Israel had one the other day running around, and she dropped it. Son, I got on to her. And she said, she's three. Now, she needs to learn. She needs to learn. And man, I tell you what, we need to teach our youngest. Because I'll be honest with you. Well, I was nervous when I got up here. I'm not nervous right now. In our schools, I'm in there. They're not being taught everything they should be taught. And their histories, it's diluted. And I'm telling you what, we need to teach our youngins, because what used to be taught is not being taught anymore. And they are twisting things like the Civil War, turning it into something it never was. We need to stand. I think I'm all right, because it's 4th of July. I can say this. We need to stand for what we believe in. And you say, what do you believe in? Everything that book says right there. I'm going to stand with it till the day I die. And I'm only 25. Hopefully I got a long time to stand. You say, you shouldn't say that because you ain't stood that long. No, but I got every intention in my being to stand with everything I have for that book. And I mean, I love the Lord this morning. I want to read some scripture. I want to read two verses, and then we'll preach short. Somebody say amen. Y'all didn't say amen. I got a bottle of water right here. I usually get 10 mini bottles of water, and that's only 30 minutes. That's at least two-thirds of that. So I got at least an hour and 15 minutes in me this morning. Amen. I don't know if that was the right math. It just sounded right, okay? 2 Kings 13. I'm going to read two verses. I'm not really going to deal with the context, and I could. I'm just going to take out the two verses I want to take out on. We see right here Israel is in a bad shape, spiritually speaking, right here in these texts. And we talk about the bondage that they find themselves in with Syria, but I'm not going to go there. I challenge you to go read that. I want to read verse 20 and 21. The Bible says this, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. When the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Y'all read what I just read? They threw him. They cast him into the sepulchre of Elisha. When the man was let down, he just touched the bones of Elisha. He revived. You know what that word revive means? I was looking at it before I left the house this morning. You know what it means? It means to promise life. That's pretty good right there. When you know what happened? He came back to life. He came back, and he didn't just come back to life. He come out with a promise of life. It wasn't going to last for a day. He came back to his life. Amazing. You say, well, that's almost unbelievable. I agree with you, but I believe it. Yes, sir. You can be seated. In our text, Elisha here, we find, man, if you've never studied out the life of Elisha, you're doing yourself a misservice. You ought to study out his life. He was a patriarch of the faith. But he dies here. He becomes sick and he dies here in our text. And when most people die, I think it's pretty simple to say this, that's pretty much all you hear from them. You don't hear much after them. Somebody say amen right there. And don't take me wrong, I just don't want to hear nothing from somebody that's not here anymore. Right? But when most people die, that's all you hear from them. But not so with Elisha. See, right here at the grave, the sepulcher of Elisha, we find a supernatural incident that takes place after he's dead. I got to think about this. What type of power did Elisha have that God still wanted to use him even after he's dead. Man, and that's what he does right here. He uses it as a miracle that takes place in the sepulcher of Elisha. And I told you, it's almost unbelievable. It really is unbelievable in the eyes of my flesh. It's supernatural is what it is. In the eyes of my flesh, I cannot believe what we just read. But in the eyes of my spirit, the Holy Ghost lets me understand a little bit. Now, through the eyes of faith, I believe every word of it. And I was looking at this, and you know, there's a lot in our Bible that's almost unbelievable. I'll say this, Pastor. Job, that's an unbelievable story. What about Jonah getting swallowed by the whale? Big old fish. That's almost unbelievable. It's not unbelievable he got swallowed. It's unbelievable he came back. It's unbelievable. But I'll tell you what, every word in this book is true. What I was just saying is true. And this story we have in our text, it's no exception. It's just really happened concerning Elisha and this man here. Now, I want to preach on this right here. I want to give you a few things this morning, and I hope I can get there. Let me get there, okay? But I want to preach on the gospel from the grave. I want to preach on the gospel from the grave. You say, preacher, you're going to get the gospel out of those two verses we just read. Yeah, just hang with me, okay? I want to preach on it. I want to show you a few things. First of all, you know what I see in that text? I see a man in the sepulcher. You know who it was? It was Elisha. Here we come to a sepulcher of Elisha, and Elisha dies after almost 60 years of service to God. He dies, and Elisha's death, if you look at it, it'll teach you some things. First of all, it teaches us the certainty of death. And there's only a few things in this world, Brother Potts, you can count on. There's only a few things. You know what you can count on? You can count on the sun coming up every morning.
Yes, sir.
And I love it. It's summer, so it comes up a little bit earlier, and I'm not happy about that. But I do love to see the sun come up. I love it. You can count on that. You know what else you can count on? You can count on a preacher loving fried chicken. You can count on that. Living proof. You can count on it. You know what else you can count on? You can count, hey husbands, you can count on your wife being right 99% of the time. That's exactly right. You know what else you can count on? You can count on death. The Bible says in Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die. You can count on death. It's going to come to every man. It'll be all right if I go up in the rapture, but if I don't go by the rapture, I'm going by the grave.
Yes,
that's how it happens. And you know what? It teaches us the certainty of death. Even as great as a man as Elisha was, he still died.
Yes, sir.
And we want to do everything we can to get away from death in our day. But I tell you what, you can't escape death. It's going to come. And not only does this story on Elisha's death teaches us the certainty of death, but I'll say this, it teaches us the consequences of the death of the godly. You know, that was a mouthful, but you just hang on a second. I got to studying this right here, and I got to studying Elisha and his life. You know what Elisha, you know who he followed? Elijah. Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah. And I got to studying this right here. And you know what? I got to reading this. And we're real bad sometimes. We're real bad to read part of the scripture and not really finish it out. Or we'll not read what came before what we was reading. It's called context. It's very important. And we've missed it a whole lot of times. But do you read that verse right here in verse number 20? It said, Elisha died and they buried him. Now, if you're about like most average people, you might stop right there and say, oh, man, that is not good. But that verse ain't over, honey. Look at the end, it says, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. See, right here, you'd miss a very important lesson if you disassociate the sentence reporting Elisha's death with the sentence following talking about the invasion of the Moabites. You know what it teaches us? When the godly are taken out of the land, oh man, have we seen that in our day? When the godly are taken out of the land, there is a blessing that's taken away that nations can ill afford to lose. We can't lose the blessing that comes along with the godly being present. That's what took place right here. That's exactly what took place right here. Because if you study this out, there's something very interesting that takes place right after Elisha dies. We know about Elijah. We know that Elisha took up his mantle, asked for a double portion, and I believe God gave it to him. But you know what? I'll ask you a question. I know the answer to it. At least I think I do. Let me ask you this. Elisha took Elijah's mantle. Who took Elisha's? I've heard this preached all my life, Brother Dakota. I've heard it preached. And I've never really studied it. I know you've probably always studied out everything you've always heard. But I haven't. And so I heard somebody say that, and I was like, I don't know about that. I don't know. That guy probably just didn't read everything he should. So I went and studied it. You know what is true? Nobody picked up the mantle of Elisha. Nobody picked up the mantle of Elisha. Nobody did. You know how long you go before you get record? 50 years. 50 years, you find somebody by the name of Hosea, and you find someone by the name of Amos. I'm 25. That's double my life already. 50 years. Now, some of you that's over 50, you're going to say, well, 50 years is no time. That's short. But you're just in denial. It's a long time. 50 years is a long time, y'all. It ain't no short period of time. Now, I get it that it passes by just like that. I understand that. Because it seems like yesterday that my little girl was born. It's going to be 4 years this month. That's crazy to me. And that's only 4 years. It's passed by like that. But 50 years and no record? The only reason I found Amos and Hosea's history books. That's how I found that out. You know what? That burdens me. That burdens my heart to know that there's a chance that 50 years could go by and there's no record of anybody doing anything for God. You say, do you believe nobody was doing anything? No, I believe somebody was serving God. I believe that. I believe there's somebody serving God, but I don't have a record of it. And I believe if somebody would have been doing something amazing for God, Olivia, I think God probably would have given us a record of it. But there is no record of it. You know who I'd hate to be? I'd hate to be the Christians in those 50 years at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, man. I'd hate to be those Christians in that time. Have to give account of what took place in those years. Because if you look at the kings in chapter 13 of 2 Kings, multiple times it says they did evil or they did wrong in the sight of God. There was no account. You say, what are you talking about? Somebody needs to pick up the mantle. Somebody needs to step in and fill in the gap. Somebody needs to step up and do right, even when nobody else is doing right. It's easy to do right when everybody else is doing right. Hey, y'all, we just got out of camp. It's easy to raise your hand and say amen when there's 150 kids, even when there's 150 kids around and say it, amen, it's easy to say amen. But you need to learn how to do right when nobody else is doing right. That's what you find here. That's what you find there. There wasn't nobody else doing right, and you know what happened? They shrunk. That's exactly what happened. Let me ask you a question. What if Dr. Barker was gone, not to come back to Amazing Grace? What would happen in 5 years? What if your leader was gone? What would happen? Oh, God would send a man. I believe that. But in the meantime, somebody would have to step up and fill in the gaps. It burdens my heart. It burdens me. Because you know why? There's a lot of great men of God in the last 2, 3, 4 years that have died, went on to glory. I can start naming them. I won't. There's a lot of great men of God that's died. You know what I think, Brother Matt? Who's going to step up?
Yes, sir.
Now, I know they probably never be another Sammy Allen, but who's going to fill in that gap?
Yes, sir.
They may never be another Stennett Ballou, but who's going to fill that gap? Oh, man. Oh, that, I'm telling you, that's so heavy on my heart. Because somebody's got to get serious with God. If you looked at the news lately, have you watched where our country's at lately? Somebody's got to get a hold of God. Somebody's got to fill in the gap and serve Him. Even when everybody else will sit down, somebody needs to stand up. Oh, man, God help us. Oh, we got to have a burden, y'all. Oh, man, we got to have a burden. There's a man in the sepulchre, Elisha. If you study that a little farther, I told you there's a second part of that verse. There's a menace at that sepulchre. That's them Moabites.
Yes, sir.
You study that right here. Them Moabites, you know what they did? They were thieving. They were robbing. That's what marauding Moabites is what they were. And a funeral here was being concluded right here in our text. They were burying a man. And the Moabites came and was seen nearby. The Moabites invaded the land. It said at the coming end of the year. If you look at the Jewish calendar, you're going to find out that was sometime around April. No, not exactly, it's sometime around that. And you know why they did that? It was common. Those raids were common. You know why? Because that's when the barley crops were harvested. The barley crops were harvested around the first of the year in their calendar, and those Moabites was coming in to steal that and rob those crops. The word spied here in verse 21, it means to meet. It means to come upon. It means to come near. You know what happened? They come up on these Moabites. I don't believe they seen them from far off. I believe all of a sudden they were there. They were face to face with the enemy. They were face to face with those Moabites, that menace, because that's what the Moabites were. They were no good. And they come up on those Moabites. And it's just, there's not a lot of detail in our text, okay? But I can give you what's already there. You know what they did? They threw that fella. That's what it said. It said they cast that man. You know why they cast him? I got a pretty good inclination. They were scared. That's exactly why they cast that man. Those Moabites come up, they spied a band of Moabites, and they cast the man. You know what that word cast means? It means to hurl, to pluck, or to throw down. There was a throwdown took place in that cemetery right there. I didn't mean to say that. You know what they did? They threw that man down. That's exactly what they did. You know why? Because they was getting out of there, friend. They didn't want to be there. They were no match for the Moabites. They had to get out. And the menace, the Moabites, they were facing the enemy. They cast that man down. They threw him away. Why? Because they wanted to get away from the Moabites. There's a man, Elisha. The menace is those Moabites. I'll show you this and I'll be done. I did want to get to this point. Don't get your hopes up. There's a miracle that takes place at the sepulcher. Oh, yes. Right here in our text, there's a funeral being concluded. I'll say this. What a funeral. I've never been one like it. I've been to a lot of them. I ain't ever been to one like this. I don't ever really want to go to one like that. Can I just be real honest with you? I've been to a lot of them, but I ain't ever seen one of them stand up. You know what? That's what they saw here. This man that was just dead seconds prior. Man, he was dead. Revived. Yeah. Stood up on his feet. Yeah. Man, I got a pretty good imagination. That's a pretty cool day right there. I'm just saying, I ain't never seen one like it. He stood up and he come back to life. Can you imagine what those Moabites thought? I can. I'll give it to you. You know, those Moabites who just seconds seen this group of people, I'm sure they probably did. Because Stephen, they didn't just run in there and see everything at once. If they got any type of brain on them, they were watching. They seen this group of people, them pallbearers carrying that dead man. When they come up at it, where they were, they seen this dead man. I guarantee you, they seen this, them throw that dead man in that grave, that sepulcher. And now, just seconds prior, this man was dead, and now he's coming up, and he's running away with them pallbearers. You know what I believe them Moabites probably did? I think they probably did some running themselves. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I'd have been doing. It was just this dead man thrown in there with his grave clothes tied up. Now he's coming out. I'd have definitely done some running. Reminds me of a story. I shouldn't tell it. I'm going to tell it anyway. Reminds me of a story. This is before I came along, but I'll tell it anyway. Turner Street Baptist Church, there's a church, there's a graveyard, and there's a parsonage. Your preacher could tell this story better than I can because he is a part of this. And him and my dad, my grandpa was over at the church. You tell me if I'm telling it wrong. My grandpa was making radio broadcasts at the church. And they lived in the parsonage. So that night when he got done, he come back walking through the graveyard. Well, my dad I'm sure it was probably your pastor's idea first. But my dad and your pastor thought it'd be real funny to go out and hide behind them gravestones, them headstones. So they got behind one on this side of the road and one on this side of the road. And here him come. And if you know anything about my grandpa, and you do, I mean, he don't do anything halfway. He comes in and tapes like this right here. And he got about right here, and guess what happened? They jumped out. They said tapes went flying everywhere. You know why? Because ain't nothing supposed to be jumping out in the graveyard. The only place that's more scary than a church with no lights on and nobody in it at night is a graveyard in the middle of the night. That's the only place more scary. That's what that story I just told you. That's exactly what them Moabites saw. That's what they saw. This man come back to life. You know what? I could give you thought after thought, but you know what I think? I know this is true. God has some unique ways of defeating evil.
You're right.
You don't hear anything else about them Moabites. You know what I believe? I may be wrong, but just let me believe it anyway. You know what I believe? I believe God raised that man up from the dead. One, to give him life, and two, to defeat them Moabites in that moment. Do you think that those fellows that was carrying that dead man wanted that to be the way they defeated the Moabites? Probably not. You know what? In your life, you may think everything's going differently than what it should be. Things are happening a little bit different what you think they should be. But can I tell you, God's got unique ways?
Yes, sir.
Good night. God's got unique ways of defeating evil. And even when you don't understand, even when you don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening, just trust God. He might be about to raise somebody from the dead to beat off the enemy with.
Yes, sir.
That's what he did right there.
Yes, sir.
That blesses the fire out of me.
Yes, sir.
Because my ways are not like his. His thoughts are higher than mine. And you know what? It's awful prideful of me to say, you know what? That probably not. We probably ought to do it this way, God. No. We ought to just step back and trust him. Because he's unique. Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody do things like the way he does things. And he's always right. Yes, he is. He's always right. Those Moabites went away because God sent them away. I'll show you one thing and I'll be done. I was looking at this text and I was reading, I was studying about this. And I love this passage. I do. I always have. But I love his story. And you know what I saw? I was reading about this, and there's a beautiful picture here. There's a beautiful picture of the gospel in this text. I told you I was preaching on the gospel from the grave. I finally got there. I want to show you a couple things. There's three types I want to show you real fast. This dead man, you know what he's a type of? He's the type of a lost man. No hope. I got to thinking about him, reading about him. I don't really know much about him. All I know he is dead. He's a type of those that are lost without Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." Oh, yes. You know what this man was? He was forsaken. He was hopeless. He was helpless. He was done. His story done ended for him. You know how they... Here you go. Here's your 4th of July application. You ready? You know how they put those people in the grave? They'd wrap them up. They'd cover their face with a special cloth. And they'd tie their hands. You know what they were? They were bound. They had no freedom. There's your application. I told you I was going to preach on 4th of July. But you know what? That's exactly how you and I was.
Yes, sir.
We was dead. But Stan, we were dead. We had no hope. Good night. We had no help. In ourselves, we were doomed to live a lost, forsaken life, to spend eternity in the devil's hell. So this man had no hope. But through the bonds of Elisha, I'm going to try to preach it and I have a shouting fit. But through the bonds of Elisha, you know what happened to this fella? He came back to life.
Yes, sir.
He was revived.
Yes, sir.
There was life promised. Oh, good night. There was life promised to him. Through the bones of Elisha.
Yes, sir.
I got to thinking, not only is this fellow type of the lost man, I got to thinking about somebody else's death that brings life.
Yes,
you know who else's death brings life?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes,
man, on a hill called Calvary 2,000 years ago, he died. And guess what happened? Because he died and got back up through his death,
amen.
I now have life. Oh, yes. This dead man is a type of the lost man. But, oh, man, that Elisha is a type of Christ. Because through the death of Elisha, the life gets brought to this fella. But you know what else I saw? This dead man is really twofold because he was dead and alive in the same passage. This dead man is a type of a lost person. Elisha is a type of Christ. But that fella, after he comes back to life, you know what he is? He's a type of the Christian. You know why? Because as soon, I'm talking about as soon, as he comes back to life, you know what he faced? The Moabites. As soon as he is revived, as soon as life is promised to him, he faced opposition. I don't know if anybody lied to you today or not, but if they told you the Christian life was a bed of roses, they lied to you. The Christian life is not easy. It's hard sometimes. It's simple, but it ain't easy. It ain't easy. It's difficult. The Bible said in Galatians 4, verse 29, let me give you this. "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit." I like this part. "Even so it is now." That's the day we're living in, just like it was for the Galatians. Those that are born after the flesh persecutes those that are born after the Spirit. And it is today just like it was then. The Bible says in John 15:8, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:13, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. You know what? I ain't going to lie to you. Christian life ain't easy. It's hard. It's not easy. But you know what I say? In spite of the difficulties we face today, we're going to face tomorrow, we're going to face next week, we'll face next year, July 4th. Man, may we not shackle the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not shackle the fervency we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we not have any qualms about giving Him 100% because He's worthy of it. Even though the days may be dark sometimes, maybe your life ain't easy like everybody else's is, because everybody else's is a bed of roses, but yours is the only hard one. And maybe it ain't easy. But I promise you one thing, you'll make it.
Yes, sir.
You know, well, I preached this because I thought about this the other day. This dead man, he came back to life. He was promised life. You know what? We don't really hear anything else from him. All we know, he's alive. All we know is he made it. I can't give you anything else. I just know he made it. And your life may not be easy. Your life may be hard. If you're a child of God, guess what?
Yes, sir.
You're going to make it.
Yes, sir.
Man, I tell you what, that blesses me. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I'm just going to say you're going to make it. Hallelujah. I said you're going to make it.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. You know what I thought about this fella? I don't know who he is. I don't know his name. If you can tell me his name, I really would appreciate it. But I can't tell you his name. I can't tell you what he does from this moment on. I can't tell you. I can't tell you who his family is. All I know is that he was dead and now he's alive.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? It'd be all right with me if the world never knows who I am. If the world never knows my family, that's all right. If the world never knows what I try to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all right. One thing I want the world to know is that I once was dead, and now I'm alive. You know what I want the world to know about Jeremiah Simpson? That he's passed from death into life.
Yes, sir.
That's all I care about. That's what I want them to know. You say, well, preacher, you're about crazy. You're out of breath. I know I'm out of shape. That's the reason. You say, why? Why are you acting so crazy? Because I was dead, and I ain't no more. I said I was dead, and I ain't no more. Brother Josh, let me just give you an illustration. I got quit, but let me give you an illustration. Say Brother Josh goes home tonight. I really hope this don't happen. Say he goes home tonight, gets on his recliner, and he never wakes up. And here comes Wednesday, Thursday, we got a funeral for Brother Josh. We roll him in that down the aisle. He gets the casket back, bumped up against the ear. During that funeral, Brother Forrest here, it's an open casket, by the way. That's important you to know. During that funeral, Brother Forrest goes from this to this. Gets out of that casket alive. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go like this right here. All right, Brother Barker. Preach me into heaven real good, okay? That ain't what he's going to do. He's going to come out of there like a madman, because just moments prior, he was dead. He was dead. He was gone. And now he has been made alive. Oh, man. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go out here and drive 45 minutes to the nearest store. And he's going to say, you know what? That's how far it is. He said, hey, you know what? Guess what? You ain't going to believe this. Hey, Sunday night, I died. I was dead for days. Just a minute ago, they were carrying me to my grave. And guess what? I come back to life. I'm not dead no more. And you know what? Nobody had ever talked bad about you, because you were literally dead, and then you were literally alive. Guess what? We have the same thing, spiritually speaking. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I was headed to hell. But oh, hallelujah for the day that the Lord came into my life. Say, my unworthy soul. And you know what I'll do the rest of my life? I'm going to go, everybody know, guess what? I passed from death into life. Guess what? I'm no longer dead. Guess what? I got saved. Guess what? I'm alive. Hey, guess what, y'all? I'm no longer dead. Guess what? I was dead. I had was lifeless, but Jesus saved me. You say, you're crazy. No, that's the truth, honey. I was lifeless. I had no hope. But oh, hallelujah. There is life. There is life in my heart right now because of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief cometh not, but it was still to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life. You might have it more abundantly. I'm not dead this morning. Can you tell? I'm not dead. Can you tell that I'm pretty excited that I'm alive? Because I know what I deserve. I deserve hell. Oh, man, for all the wickedness I've done. Oh, man, I deserve hell. But a happy day, he saved my soul. Hallelujah, he saved me. Oh, yes, that's something to get excited about. That's something to get happy about. That's something to go tell somebody about. I don't know about this fella. I promise you one thing, though. He didn't live the rest of his life not telling somebody about what happened that day.
That's right.
He lived the rest of his life, I guarantee it. The rest of his life, you know what I bet every time he met somebody? You ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe it. I was dead. No, I know, I'm not kidding. I was dead. Every time he met somebody, I guarantee he told them about it. When's the last time you told somebody about your story? When's the last time you told somebody that you were dead? But God brought you to life.
Yes, sir.
I stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know about you, but I know what I deserve. I still deserve to be dead in my sin. But oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away.